السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى. أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو، له الأسماء الحسنى، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صاحب المقام المعلى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, the most powerful word in the English language and its equivalent in any other language is the word love. Everyone loves, and more importantly, everyone wants to be loved. Who you love, and more so who loves you, speaks volumes about you and your profile. Let me commence the discussion on love with an incident from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day the Sahaba was sitting, they were having a discussion. And this discussion took place whilst they were awaiting the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one Sahabi made a remark. He said, how amazing is it that Allah has chosen Ibrahim alaihi salam to be his Khalil, to be his friend. So another Sahabi remarked and said, but isn't it more amazing that Allah chose Musa alayhi salam to be Kalimullah, where Allah spoke to him directly? Then another Sahabi makes a remark and says, but what about Isa alayhi salam? He is Ruhullah wa Kalimatuhu. He came into existence by the direct instruction of Allah. Now, whilst this discussion was taking place, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had arrived. But the Sahaba was so engrossed in this interaction, they did not notice Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting on the periphery and listening into the discussion. So one Sahabi is saying that Musa is Kalimullah, and how amazing is that? Another one says Ibrahim is Khalilullah, and how amazing is that? And another Sahabi is saying that Isa is Ruhullah, and that is amazing. And another one says, but Adam alayhi salam was the first to be created. He started everything. So that's amazing. And the Nabi of Allah then steps into the discussion and he says, oh my Sahaba, I have noted your points. I have noted your points. And I have also noted your amazement. Inna Ibrahim Khalilullah wa huwa kadhalik. There is no doubt that Ibrahim alayhi salam is the friend of Allah. Wa Isa Ruhullahi wa Kalimatuhu wa huwa kadhalik. That Isa alayhi salam is the spirit of Allah and the consequence of the spoken word of Allah, and indeed that is a fact. Wa Musa Najiyullahi wa huwa kadhalik. We know that Musa alayhi salam spoke directly to Allah, and that is a fact. Wa Adam istafahullah. Adam alayhi salam was the first to be chosen by Allah, and that is also a fact. But listen, whilst we're talking about facts, let me give you the facts of all facts. Ala wa ana habibullahi wala fakhr. Know this, my Sahaba, I am the beloved of Allah. I don't say it out of pride. That is the fact. That is the fact. It's not a competition between me and my brothers in the fraternity and the galaxy of Anbiya and Prophets. No, this is a fact which Allah has established. This is the choice of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam has the title of Khalil. Musa alayhi salam has the title of Kalim. Isa alayhi salam has the title of Ruh. I have the title of Habibullah, the beloved of Allah. Habib comes from the word hub, love. Love. I want to speak about love today because this ummah unfortunately has misunderstood what are at its core ingredients. Nowadays, let alone what the West perceives about us or what they think about us, it is about what we perceive about ourselves and how we think about ourselves. We think Islam is only about sternness and firmness and aggression. Indeed, everything has a balance. But we forget the other ingredients, core ingredients to what it is to be a Muslim, to the foundation of Islam. From all the titles, what did Allah choose for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The title of Habibullah, the beloved of Allah. So Allah has love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I always quote this because it's so wonderful to quote it, and it's so laden with meaning, and it is so heavy with inspiration. We read Surah Al-Duha almost every day in some salah or the other. But do we understand that this is a love story? Others are mesmerized by the love story of Layla and Majnun. Some are taken aback by the love story of Romeo and Juliet. Let's look at a love story which has no parallel. Which has no parallel. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives revelation. Then the revelation stops. The Meccans start to taunt him. They mock him. They scoff at him. They jeer at him. And they tell him, what has happened? Where's the revelation? Is your Allah angry with you? Has your Allah forsaken you? Has your Allah deserted you? And the Nabi of Allah becomes depressed. Why does he become depressed? This is a poignant point. Why does he become depressed? Not because of what the Meccans think of him. Not because of what the Meccans were saying about him. You and I, when people talk negatively about us, we become depressed. A lot of what we do is designed to win a favorable opinion of others or with others. A lot of what we do is to please others, to make them think good of us, to make them have a positive viewpoint of us. And when things don't go the way we want it to go, we become depressed. But the Nabi of Allah was not worried about the taunting of the Meccans. He was worried that it should not be that Allah is upset with me, that's why the revelation has stopped. You see, a relationship of love, you only worry about what the beloved thinks of you. You don't care about what others think and what others have to say. Allah in His wisdom stopped the revelation after a period Surah Al-Duha is revealed. I don't have the time to go into the details, but quickly Allah says, وَالْدُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. By the light of day and by the night when it settles. Meaning, like there's an alternation between day and night, there will be an alternation. Sometimes revelation will come, sometimes revelation won't come. It's just the system of Allah. It doesn't mean Allah is unhappy with you when the revelation stops. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord has not forsaken you, and your Lord is not angry with you. Allah first responds to the Meccans and their accusation. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ. Your Allah has not forsaken you, like they allege. But Allah also understood, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not worried about that. He was worried, it should not be that Allah is upset with me. وَمَا قَلَى. Then Allah gives consolation. Look at the tone of love. The topic we're discussing, love. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. My Nabi, you're going through difficulty, you're going through hardship, but what is to come will be far better for you than what you are currently having to endure. In this world, what is to come when you will conquer Makkah is far better than what the Meccans are putting you through. Or in the greater scheme, what is to come in terms of the reward of the year after. When these very people who are mocking at you, when they see you at the Hawd al-Kawthar, when the doors of Jannah will not open except with your knocking, when reckoning will not start except with your intercession, then they will bite their hands out of regret. They will wish to die out of regret that they did not understand how much Allah loves you. So consolation, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Then Allah steps it up and says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will give you so much until you become happy. Allah doesn't stipulate. Allah says, my love for you is so much that I will continue to give you, to bless you until you are pleased. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the recipient of this love. But look at how he passed on the love. Look at how he passed on the love. He said, "Oh my Allah, if that is your promise, that you will continue to give me until I am pleased, then Allah, I am stating before you, I will never be pleased until the last individual from my ummah has been entered into Jannah." Love. This is a deen of love. Our Allah is a creator of love. Our Nabi is a prophet of love. The Quran radiates the message of love. How Allah had love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had love for you and I. So we looked at Allah's love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We look at the Nabi of Allah's love for us. Let us look at the love that the ummah has for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We start with the Sahaba. There are multitudes of examples that can be given. I'll just mention two or three in passing. Khadija radiyallahu anha. Imagine what degree of love she had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was a woman who was the most affluent woman in Makkah. One of the most affluent, the most rich people in Makkah. And yet, for 3 years, they are boycotted in the valley of Abu Talib. There's no food to eat. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu says, to placate the pangs and the pains of hunger, we would chew on leaves. We would chew on leaves. Now, if a woman suffers out of love for her husband, that is remarkable. But if a woman sees her own children suffering, and yet she endures that suffering, she tolerates the suffering of her own children for the sake of her husband, then that is something which is absolutely remarkable. Fatima radiallahu anha was a small baby. In those 3 years, out of hunger, when she used to cry, her cries used to echo in those valleys. An average mother cannot tolerate if the child cries in the middle of the night. That's the love of a mother. Here was a woman whose children were suffering for 3 years. But she endured it, she tolerated it, and she remained loyal to her husband out of love. Love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Talib was not even a Muslim. He loved his nephew so much, he was willing to suffer the same persecution. He was willing to put his life on the line for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of love. And the incident I always like to quote, because again it's so laden with inspiration, is that of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Love. It's a quality, it's a value that this ummah needs to rediscover. It's a quality and it's a value that we need to reactivate. Abu Bakr radiallahu an's love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know today you meet any average revert and you ask them, "What is your greatest desire?" They say, "I want my parents to become Muslim." Any revert, they accept Islam today, and today you ask them, "What is your greatest wish?" "My father must become a Muslim." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the greatest Muslim after the Anbiya. He's the first to accept Islam from the males. 13 years in Makkah, his father doesn't accept Islam. 8 years whilst in Medina, his father doesn't accept Islam. 21 years. This was a man whose iman was such that he wanted to read Quran in public even if it meant that he would get a beating. Because he didn't want to keep the beauty of the Quran exclusive to himself. Imagine what went through the heart of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, knowing that his father was not a Muslim. On the occasion of the conquest of Makkah, his father Abu Quhafa finally tells him, "I'm ready to accept Islam. I'm ready to accept Islam." He's old, he's blind, his back is hunched. Abu Bakr radiallahu an brings him into the noble company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what was the remark of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, worthy of being inscribed in gold? The Nabi of Allah said, "Abu Bakr, he's an old man. Why did you inconvenience him by bringing him to me? You should have told me, I would have gone to him." Character, values, qualities. Now Abu Quhafa stretched his hands to take the bay'at of Islam. As his hands touches the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu breaks down. He is sobbing. He is absolutely sobbing. So Sahaba congratulate him. They say, congratulations on your tears of joy, that today your greatest dream has come through. Your father has accepted Islam. He says, no. I'm not crying tears of joy. I'm crying tears of regret. My greatest wish was for my father to accept Islam. My Nabi's greatest wish was for his uncle to accept Islam. I'm crying out of regret that if only today Abu Talib was still alive, I would have pulled back the hand of my own father. I would have left my dream unfulfilled. I would have pushed forward the hand of the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that my dream can be sacrificed for the dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My wish could be sacrificed for the wish of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is true love. This is true love. This deen is the deen of love. Allah's teachings are underpinned by love. This Nabi is a Nabi of love. He loved and he was loved. You know, during the Hajj season, somebody had put a comment on social media which I thought was so profound, so dynamic. They said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away 1400 years ago, yet he remains the most visited man on the planet. Love! Forget what outsiders think of us as Muslims. When are we going to rediscover this value of love? When are we going to become loving people? Understanding that this is the deen of love, this is a Nabi of love, this is a seerah of love, this is a legacy of love. Imam Malik rahimahullah, and I'm just giving another example, there's so many of the love that people from this ummah had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Malik was a muhaddith, but he was equally a jurist, a faqih. So people would come to him to narrate hadith or listen to a hadith, and they would also come to him to ask about masail, rulings. It is mentioned and it is documented that whenever someone came to him and asked him a mas'ala, a ruling, he would give the answer instantly. But if someone came to him and asked him that narrate to me a hadith, he would first go home. He would take a bath. He would wear new clothing. He would apply itar. He would don his imamah. He would come back into the masjid. And then he would narrate the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Such love is unparalleled in human history. Unparalleled in human history. Even Abu Sufyan, when he was speaking to the leaders of the major empires of the time, he had to concede that the love that the Sahaba displayed for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sometimes even beyond human comprehension. Where is this love? This is also part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where is this love amongst us today? I talk to myself firstly before I talk to you, brothers. What is in our hearts? Really? Besides the malice, the greed, the animosity, the jealousy, how much place have we left for love? Genuine love for people. The world has become so materialistic, so individualistic. People have become so self-centered that love which was a given, love for your spouse, love for your parents, love for your children, today it's no longer given. Today even that is in question. Whereas this is the deen of love. This is the Nabi of love. This is the sunnah of love. You know, if you look at the world today, everyone agrees that there are four categories of people who are marginalized. Women, children, elderly, and animals. Women, children, elderly, and animals. We can have an independent discussion on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teachings and his examples of love for each one of these categories. But I'll mention one example in passing to show that the solution to our problems as an ummah and the solution to the problems of humanity is not in rules or regulations. We have enough of that. It's not in the jurisprudic rulings that is known to us. Today we have much more knowledge than we ever, or access to knowledge than we ever had before. It is in reactivating these core values of Islam. Reactivating these core values of Islam is the solution to our individual problems, to the problems of the ummah, and to the problems of humanity. Today you have, on every street corner, you have a different feminist group or a different feminist agenda. And they talk about fighting for women's rights. But there is no feminista in the world, and there will be none up to the day of Qiyamah. No person championing the rights of women who can bring you the statement the like of what was uttered by the Prophet ﷺ when he said, the best of you, khiyarukum, the best of you are those who are the best to their women folk. You will never be considered to be a good Muslim or a pious Muslim, even if you're burning holes in the musalla, even if you're writing checks on a daily basis in charity, even if you make Hajj and Umrah every year. If you want to be considered amongst the best of Muslims, you have to be best to your women folk. There is no other person who can bring such a teaching in favor of women. But not only was it an instruction, the Nabi of Allah walked the talk, and I am the best of you when it comes to treating my women folk. Just this morning, I was listening to a lecture of one of the senior scholars, and he mentioned something remarkable. He said, when the noble wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Maymuna radiallahu anha, when she was in her last illness, she told her family, I have one desire. And they said, what is it? And this was many years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, take me to the place where I spent my first night with my beloved husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take me to the place, oh man, read all the novels you want to read, you will never find a love story like this. Today you and I, the wife says, I'll never be able to live without you. And then hardly are you dead 4 or 5 months and life moves on. Nothing wrong with that, but life moves on. Yeah. How many decades later, take me to the place where I spent my first night with my beloved husband, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Love for women, children. The Nabi of Allah goes into sajda. The sajda becomes so long that the Sahaba fear that the Nabi of Allah has passed on. When some of them lift their heads to see what is happening, they realize the Nabi of Allah is delaying his sajda because his grandchildren are playing on his back. When Amir al-Mu'mineen Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was one day seen on his haunches, as we would say. He was on his knees and his grandchildren were playing on his back as if he was the horse and they were riding. And somebody made a remark that you are the leader of such a vast empire. How can you allow yourself to go on your knees like that? He said the leader of both the worlds, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went down on his knees so his grandchildren could play on his back. Animals. Today you have institutions. Governments have dedicated budgets for animal rights. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam travels with Sahaba. They stop to perform Salah. The Nabi of Allah goes to get himself ready. One Sahabi sees a bird with a few chicks. The chicks look cute. Or takes the birds, take the small birds away. When the Nabi of Allah comes, the mother is fluttering her wings. Who has caused inconvenience to this bird? A creature that you and I would deem insignificant by taking away her children. Return the children immediately. Return these baby birds to the mother. Do not cause inconvenience to any creation of Allah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu had a love for cats. The Nabi of Allah gave him the nickname Abu Hurairah. So even if you look at these marginalized categories, women, children, animals, or elderly, you will see teachings of love in Islam. When it comes to the elderly, the Nabi of Allah said, listen, al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum. It's difficult to look after people when they're elderly. Physically it's difficult, emotionally as well. When people become old, they become stubborn, they become obstinate, they're no longer reasonable. They don't talk in a reasonable way, they don't conduct themselves in a reasonable way. But do it! Because your barakah and the barakah of your progeny is in looking after your elders. You can take your mother on your back for Hajj, but you'll never repay her for the milk that she fed you. Teachings of love, love, love. It's a value that we need to rediscover. It's a value that we need to reactivate. Today the world is calling for peace. They say the solutions to the problems of humanity is in peace, no doubt. But what is peace? Is peace the mere absence of violence? That if there's no violence, then we have peace? No, that is setting the bar very low. Peace is holistic peace, where emotionally, mentally, physically, you must be in a state of peace. You must live with each other in a peaceful way. The environment must be radiating with peace. All actions are conducive to be conducted in a peaceful way. That is peace. Not only the absence of violence. But that kind of peace you can never achieve if you do not have love. If you do not have love. In summary, brothers, I'm wrapping up. I started off by saying that the greatest word or the most powerful word in any language is the word love. Everybody loves and everybody wants to be loved. Who you love, and more so who loves you, speaks volumes about who you are and your profile and personality. We spoke about Allah's love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From all the titles, Allah chose Habibullah, the beloved of Allah. The Nabi of Allah's love for us, He loved us even before we were created. He loved us even before our parents started to love us. The love of Sahaba and this Ummah for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But my core message is this: Islam is a deen of love. Our Nabi is a Nabi of love. It's a core value which we need to rediscover, which we need to reactivate. The solutions to the problems of this Ummah lies in these core values. When the Nabi of Allah was sent to Arabia as a messenger, it was an environment that was dominated by violence, by oppression. Might was right. If you wanted to achieve anything, you had to be aggressive, you had to be violent. How did the Nabi of Allah conquer not only the people of Arabia, but the hearts of the people of Arabia in 23 years? Not by the might of the sword, but by love, compassion, tolerance, leniency. These core values of our deen. We have forgotten these verses. Where Allah says, وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Lower your wing for the believers. Be tolerant, be easygoing, be lenient. One day Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to the Sahaba, should I not inform you of that person that he is haram for the fire of Jahannam and the fire of Jahannam is haram for him? Meaning he will never go to Jahannam. Sahaba says, of course, Ya Rasulullah. عَلَى كُلِّ قَرِيبٍ هَيِّنٍ سَهْلٍ. That person who remains close to people. You can lead your own life in one corner. It may be easier, but that's not the ideal. He's soft with people. He's lenient with people. Ya Aisha, the Nabi of Allah says to his wife, Inna Allah rafiqun yuhibbu rifqa. Allah is soft. Allah is loving. Allah wants you to be soft. Allah wants you to be loving. Silman qata'ak. Build ties with those who are breaking ties with you. Wa'fu amman dhalamak. Forgive those who are doing wrong to you. Wa ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk. Be good to those who are being bad to you. That is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah of love. That is how Makkah was conquered. That is how Arabia was conquered. That is how the most bosom enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became the closest confidants and companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As individuals, we need to rediscover this quality of love. As an ummah, we need to rediscover this quality of love. As humanity, we need to rediscover this quality of love. Allah says, I'll leave you with this. Allah says, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِّينَ فِيَّ. What is the greatest aspiration of a Muslim? More than Jannah. Greater than Jannah. Your greatest aspiration is to become the beloved of Allah. Allah says, you will be my beloved if you love, if you love, if you love others for my sake. If you love others for my sake, the Nabi of Allah said, you are not a true believer. حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. Until you love for the next person what you love for yourself. How many of us, myself included, can say, we love for the next person what we love for ourselves? You want to be successful. You want to solve the problems of the ummah and humanity. Rediscover the sunnah of love, this quality and this value of love. I'll leave you with this statement. The Nabi of Allah has said, Al-mu'minu ya'laf wa yu'laf. A Muslim is such that he loves people, and because he loves people, they love him. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَأْلَفْ وَلَا يُؤْلَفْ. There is no goodness in that person who doesn't love others, and as a result, they don't love him. May Allah make me, may Allah make all of us from amongst those who can rediscover this value and this quality of love, the sunnah of love. May we see our deen in its comprehensive form. May we rediscover these qualities for our individual prosperity, the prosperity of the ummah, and the prosperity of humanity. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.